We're going to end this hour by revisiting a story we told you about yesterday, the Hobby Lobby decision by the Supreme Court. It's a 5-4 decision about religious freedom that stems from a very strange bit of history that motivated Congress to pass a law that was the basis of this lawsuit. The court ruled in favor of two Christian-owned companies, you'll remember, Hobby Lobby and Conestoga Wood Specialties, that challenged Obamacare provisions requiring the companies, privately held companies, to provide contraceptive benefits for their employees, saying that they violated the Christian religious practices of the company's owners. Now, there are already discussions in Congress of giving those employees exemptions so that the company owners don't have to actually pay for the contraceptive provisions. But this case stemmed from the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. RFRA, RFRA it's called. The law at issue there in the decision came to pass in 1993. RFRA was adopted to counteract a 1990 Supreme Court case called Oregon versus Smith. The majority decision was written by Judge Scalia, in which two Native American men were denied unemployment benefits because they were fired for smoking hallucinogenic peyote cactus as part of what they said was their own religious ritual. Carolyn Long is the author of Religious Freedom and Indian Rights, The Case of Oregon v. Smith. Carolyn, welcome to the program.
Thank you for inviting me.
This is some fascinating history. If you know anything about the West, you know all about peyote culture and mushroom culture and the hallucinogenic sort of tribes and rituals that existed out there. This one made its way to the Supreme Court and really caused Congress to say, hey, wait a minute, we need a law to protect religion. Can you sketch out the history for us?
Sure. The Smith case started out as a small religious liberty case involving a Native American practicing his religious rights. And then the Supreme Court used the opportunity when it decided the case to turn it into a landmark First Amendment free exercise decision. The case involved Al Smith, who was a Klamath Indian, who was a treatment counselor for a drug and alcohol abuse center. And he used Native American practices in his treatment of drug and alcohol abuse. As a counselor, he would use sweat lodges, drumming ceremonies to help connect with Native American community members who were struggling. And that part of his work was his practice of his own religion. He was a member of the Native American church where they ingest peyote as a sacrament. At the time, it was illegal in the state of Oregon. So when Smith told his employers about this religious practice, he was fired from his job and subsequently denied unemployment compensation by the state.
Now, when this case went before the Supreme Court, the argument was basically that the federal government is not to restrict the exercise, the free exercise of any religion. But Scalia took a different tack. He said, no. It's different. That if you want to explicitly permit the free exercise of some exotic religious ritual, you're going to have to legislatively pass a law that says that eating peyote in this case is okay. Am I fairly characterizing what happened in 1993 or not in 1993 during the case in 1990?
You are. Well, what happened was prior to the Smith decision, for over 30 years, the court had used a certain balancing test in order to evaluate religious claims, regardless of whether or not the government action infringing on one's religion was a direct government action or an indirect government action. So what Scalia said in the Smith decision was that the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause only protects individuals when government directly infringes on someone's religious freedom. If somebody is impacted from exercising their religion from what he called a neutral, generally applicable law, they were not protected by the First Amendment, and they had to seek protection through the legislative process.
All right, so let me back up here. So Scalia was saying that the fact that peyote was illegal was a generally applicable law, and for the Indians to get the right to use it in a religious ritual, they had to get a special ordinance passed that gave them a waiver from the illegality of the peyote. Am I right there?
That's correct. And that actually was the case for about half of the states in the union. But Oregon had not passed that exemption to its state law.
So all of a sudden, the Christian evangelists and other conservatives and, you know, who knows, maybe well-meaning Unitarians and all kinds of Christians and Muslims and Jews said, whoa, Scalia here is basically making it more difficult potentially for me to practice my religion, and thereby came the momentum for this RFRA, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Explain that.
Well, that's absolutely the case. The controversy went away from Smith, and he has his own compelling, you know, personal story, and about how the Smith decision essentially lowered the bar of protection for the First Amendment Free Exercise Clause for everybody. So it was a stunning decision, and individuals in the religious and civil liberties communities who were took by surprise with this decision decided that they had to do something in order to address it. And so what they did is they sought out a legislative solution to try to circumvent the Smith decision, and that was essentially the Coalition for the Free Exercise of Religion, which helped shepherd the RFRA case through Congress.
And so now what is the test under RFRA, which was before the Supreme Court in the Hobby Lobby case?
So the test for RFRA was the one that existed prior to the Smith decision for about 30 years. The test is a three-part test. If somebody first shows that a government action places a substantial burden on their religion, then that government action must be shown to achieve a compelling government interest achieved in the least restrictive manner possible. So it's a very high threshold. It's the high threshold that existed prior to Smith. And so what RFRA did is it essentially brought back this statutory balancing test that had existed under constitutional law prior to the Smith decision.
And do you think the requirement of the Hobby Lobby owners to pay for the Obamacare provisions that offered contraceptions is a high burden? It passes that RFRA test?
I think that...
I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
No, that's fine. I think that personally, I think it's a difficult argument to make. But what the court usually does is they accept the religious adherence argument about it being a burden. What may be a burden to one person may not be a burden to another. One could say that the burden is very far attenuated from the actual individual's religion, which is the case in Hobby Lobby in the Constantega case. But the court essentially agreed that it was a burden.
Wouldn't you love to have like a party, though, with the Conestoga people and the Hobby Lobby people and the Indians, you know, just sitting in the sweat lodge eating peyote, just talking about, isn't it ironic, this country we live in, America?
It would be totally ironic. One of the ironies is that one of the reasons why it took RFRA so long to be passed into law was that pro-life groups opposed RFRA because they believed that it would actually create a constitutional right to abortion. And so it stalled the legislation for over 3 years, that issue. And so to find out that now RFRA is being used in order to provide statutory protection for for-profit businesses to deny contraceptive services to individuals is sort of a fascinating twist.
Well, it's, you know, if angry or not at the decision, America is sometimes a very remarkable, magical place, legally speaking. Carolyn Long, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Carolyn Long is the author of Religious Freedom and Indian Rights, The Case of Oregon versus Smith. She's a professor at the School of Politics, Philosophy, and Public Affairs at Washington State University, Vancouver. We want to welcome our new listeners to The Takeaway in Atlanta, Georgia, joining us for the first time at 88.5 FM. We'd love you to check out our website, follow us on Twitter, be a part of our daily conversation. First Atlanta listener to call us wins a Lexus, a brand. No, that's wrong. I'm lying there. We'll do our best to represent and reflect what matters to you. Of course, the very best of luck to Team USA in Brazil. Thanks so much for listening. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.